Board games are seeing a rise in popularity, with titles like Settlers of Catan and Wingspan becoming household names. A game shop owner in Sheboygan has been introducing her community to these board games for nearly 20 years, and not just because they're fun. She makes the case that games also provide social connection and boost our mental well-being. She's reached out to the local community with a focus on making connections and supporting neurodivergent students and seniors with dementia. Lynn Podian is owner of The Game Board in Sheboygan, and she talked with Rob Ferret earlier this week.
Now, you've got a unique story of how you ended up with a game store. I usually think, okay, somebody's been playing games or super into games forever. They open a store. You kind of got into games in a different way. Can you share that story?
My son had a severe speech delay when he was about four. He was diagnosed, and that was 2000. And at the time, we didn't have anything at home that was enticing for him. We ended up at a game convention. I saw some games coming out of Europe, and I started bringing those games in to help him communicate differently. They were based on, instead of luck, they had more critical thinking. They had an ability to like move and make decisions. And so by using those games, I worked with a speech therapist, and we developed like a regime of like how to use games that were different than what she had in her speech therapy bubble. And so from there, I just developed like a whole thing for years doing games with my kids and helping my younger kids interact with their brother. And then one day my husband said, you know, you have a business. And I was like, heck no. So about a year later, we bought a building and I opened a store. And the rest is not quite history, but
living history.
Yeah, living history. After that, he was diagnosed with a learning disability. And from there, that's when the whole working with individuals with autism all the way through dementia really became my focus.
And one thing that strikes me there is your therapist had some games that were designed to be therapeutic or educational or whatever. And my experience as somebody who's been into games forever is the games that seem to be designed to be educational tend to be a little boring.
Games that
lead with the fun can bring us to that other stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely. I always like to say that all games have an educational component. It's just whether or not you know what you're looking for and how to use it. But yes, a lot of commercialized big box games don't necessarily have the strategy behind them, right? Not like our Machikoros or our Catans or, you know, things like that. So it's really great when you get to see a different perspective.
What was it? We'll widen the net in a minute, but what was it with your son that he engaged with in games that ended up being therapeutic, that helped with the speech that you were working on?
There was a lot of ways to get him to stop thinking so much and focusing so much on the words he was trying to say, but answering questions while he was playing. So his speech was improving by practicing, but he was no longer doing repetition. So his development changed because he was using games as his vehicle for focus instead of focusing on a lesson or trying to perform for somebody.
Well, and it makes me think of all that's going on when we play a game.
Absolutely.
We're playing a game. It's not something we necessarily take seriously, but not just with your son now, but with people you've
Everybody.
Worked with at the store and other community groups. What is it about sitting around a table and having a game as a common shared experience that has such potential to be therapeutic in many ways?
Yeah. I like to think of myself as a pretty empathetic person, so I have a tendency to like pay attention to where your eyes are focused or how you're the little grimacy lines on your forehead or whether you're smiling or nodding or interacting. And so by using all that's before me, I can help somebody take, you know, a pair of dice and learn how to roll it and figure out where they're going with it. And I've trained a lot of my staff members to be able to take a game and use it for therapy, use it to help unlock somebody who's locked up in dementia and be able to speak again about a color or a shape or go backwards into a number that they didn't have or a memory that they didn't have and unlock those things. But focusing on the game helps unlock the rest of your brain.
We're talking to Lynn Podian, owner of the Game Board store in Sheboygan. Lynn, you have a store. You're selling stuff, hoping to make money, presumably. But that's not all you're doing there. You're working with different community groups, different people with different backgrounds. What is it that led you to say, hey, at my store, I'm going to do more than be a store?
So I never set out to make the store about selling games. It was always about selling the concept of using games differently. And so, yes, selling games is important to me because obviously it keeps the lights on and pays my great employees. But my focus is really about how can I pick or help you pick a game that is going to help you connect better with your family members, with your friends, with your community, with your teachers. Like, how can that game help you improve as a human and be more connected? Because connectivity while playing a game is it's a lost item. During COVID and video games, we isolate ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with video games. Video games are great. So nobody come after me for that. Video games are great. But there is a piece where there's verbal interaction, but not physical interaction. And when you can play a game or you can sit across the table from somebody and you see their interaction, you see how their hands are moving, you play a game doing this, you grow and you develop.
And you mentioned Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. Yeah. Can you share a story about how you've used a game with someone dealing with dementia and or their loved ones?
Yeah, absolutely. We were at a SPARC program. SPARC's programs are designed for people with dementia and their caregivers to come and have some time out. Caregivers are given a chance to like relax and back, you know, take some time for themselves, but also to help the person with dementia to try something different. And so there's art programs and games and coffee days. In this day, we were doing a game, and we had a bunch of different tables set out with people giving game directions. And this gentleman was sitting there with his wife, and they were playing a game called Thumbs Up. And at the end stages in dementia, you lose your language, you lose your colors, you lose your shapes, your numbers, but you also learn, you lose your sense of touch and your connectivity. And she was at the stage that all she was doing was humming. And so he was wanting to connect with her differently. So I brought out this game, which would take little round colored rings, put them on his thumb, and she could do that by calling out the colors. So he would look at the card and say, where's the blue ring? And she would pick up the blue ring and she'd put it on his thumb. And she was then touching his thumb, which is such a great moment, right? And so she's picking up the colors. She's recognizing the colors. She's putting it on his thumb. She's actually doing what he's asking to do. And she's humming this whole time. And suddenly she stopped humming. And she turned and she looked him in the face and she said, oh, do you remember? We used to play games at the cabin. And he looked at her and he smiled and he said, I do remember. And she goes, oh, I loved that. And he started to cry. And he told me later, she hadn't spoken to him in 2 years.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
And it just was so fulfilling. Such a, like, if there's nothing else in this world, right? That moment is so important. Yeah.
You also wrote in that chapter about people on the autism spectrum in games. So what kind of experiences, what has worked well for people with autism?
Yeah, autism is such a different beast because a lot of times children are nonverbal. Sometimes they are angry because they're nonverbal, they're locked in. So using games that help unlock them or give them a pathway to being able to communicate differently or being able to succeed. And whatever success is for them is success, not what we would consider success, right? We have goals and rules in games, and we don't have to follow goals and rules. We can just follow a path, and that is our success. So using a game that helps to unlock their brain, help them connect with something, doesn't matter if it's the person or if it's with the game, that makes them be a part of it. That's the kind of stuff that games can unlock, just given that time and that connection.
I want to talk about a different kind of game. Mm-hmm. We're focusing mostly on board games or table games, role-playing games.
Oh my God, they're the best.
From the Descent of Dungeons and Dragons and so on. And I've talked, for example, to military veterans who role-play together, not in a formal therapy setting, but they find it therapeutic. Is that something you work with? And what do you see as the value of role-playing games and some of the things you're doing?
Role-playing games, as we call them, RPGs, are incredibly valuable because they are another world where you can fail, you can succeed, and you can try new things, and it does not affect you personally or socially. So people with social anxiety, people with memory issues, these are all very well balanced in storytelling games. And also it's unlocking creativity. So it's a game system that is mobile and it grows and it develops and it's based on who's playing. It's an incredible way to do storytelling.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Lynn, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That was Lynn Podian, owner of The Game Board in Sheboygan, where she's been using board games to build community and, as we heard, as a therapeutic tool for almost 20 years. She spoke with my colleague, Rob Ferret.